Americans Are Losing Their Work Ethic by Matt Welch, first published at Reason on October 7th, read to you here at Paloma Media on October 11th. Policy analysts who favor reduced immigration to the United States have always had one plausibly compelling argument. If you cut off the supply of cheaper labor, they maintained, employers would be forced to raise wages for lower-skilled native-born workers, who would then demonstrate the fiction behind the contention that there are some jobs Americans just won't do. Well, we have just conducted a fascinating real-world test of that hypothesis. Beginning with the restrictionist presidency of Donald Trump in 2017, and then supercharging through the effective two-year border closure triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. took in about 1.7 million fewer working-age immigrants than would have come at the prior intake rate, according to a recent analysis by Giovanni Perry, economics professor at the University of California at Davis. Absent those immigrants, the domestic economy experienced a post-vaccine hiring boom, with the unemployment rate, which measures the percentage of people actively looking for but failing to find a job, hitting a 50-year low. Inflation-adjusted average wage growth also jumped for a while there, increasing by at least 4% annualized for 12 consecutive months. This should have been the moment when the startlingly high number of prime-aged Americans classified as not in the labor force, or NILFs, I swear to God, got off the sidelines and back into the job market. But no. Quote, that did not increase work rates or labor force participation of Americans who are already here. American Enterprise Institute economist Nicholas Eberstadt, author of the freshly revised, with a post-pandemic intro, 2016 book Men Without Work, told me in a podcast interview last week. Continuing, we've now got this incredible peacetime labor shortage, and we also have a drop in the number of people in the workforce by at least a ballpark of 3 million lower than we would have expected on trend before COVID, and that's leaving out immigration, so it's actually lower, end quote. Last Friday's jobs report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics underscores America's globally anomalous position. The unemployment rate is at an enviable 3.5%. Businesses still have 10 million unfilled positions. And yet, the labor force participation rate languishes at a miserable 62.3%, more than a percentage point lower than before the pandemic. Quote, for every 25 to 54-year-old guy who is out of work and looking for a job, in 2022, there are four guys who are neither working nor looking for work, Eberstadt told me. Continuing, this is the fastest growing component of men in this age group, and it has been the fastest growing component for almost 60 years now. In his new introduction, Eberstadt writes, Americans have been renowned for their work ethic, but the future of that work ethic should not be taken for granted. Renowned, you know what I'm talking about. The data is startling to behold. A higher percentage of prime-aged American men don't work now, again, at a time of historically low unemployment, than during the Great Depression. The United States, where Europeans have always come to work, has a lower labor force participation rate than any European country except Italy, where there are certain traditions of work activity that escapes traditional measurement. Thus, this flight from work has been remarkably steady over time. Quote, for a trend involving human beings, it's almost a straight line. You can't tell when the recessions came, and you can't tell when China entered the WTO, Eberstadt says. This retreat is so uncannily, weirdly, eerily regular that when I recalculated that line for the latest edition of this book, it basically continued from where the line ended in 2016. It's almost the same straight line, almost identical. There are no silver bullet explanations for the American defection from work. Yes, international trade radically changed the face of manufacturing, but that's also true in Canada, which has seen nothing like our dropout rate. Sure, a huge percentage of NILFs, at least half, Eberstadt reckons, are on disability, but it's not like Western Europe is unfamiliar with the welfare state. The United States does have, by far, the rich world's highest incarceration rate, which has all kinds of downstream effects on the employability of ex-felons, But even that can only account for a fraction of the increase. Whatever the cause, the effects of this seismic shift in the labor market have upended everything from civil society to politics. There is absolutely nothing good that comes out of this trend, Eberstadt says. It isn't like the 7 million dropouts are working in community gardens or brushing up on their Schopenhauer or whatever. What this trend has meant is slower economic growth for the country, wider income and wealth gaps, more dependence on government welfare programs, more pressure on fragile families, less social mobility, less involvement in society, and a lot more deaths of despair. It also appears to be habit forming. Between 2001 and 2021, the employment rate for males decreased in every age bracket younger than 55, while increasing in every cohort 55 and older, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The younger the group, the more dramatic the drop. 16 to 19-year-old males went from 50% working to 36%. We could be rapidly approaching the moment where half the population hasn't had a job before the age of 25. You know who's working the most? Men of Hispanic origin, according to the BLS chart, and immigrants in general. It's a very clear picture, Eberstadt says. No matter what ethnicity you are or what part of the world you come from, if you're an immigrant guy, your workforce participation level rate is going to be higher than your native-born counterpart. That's true for Latinos. It's true for Asians. It's true for African-Americans. It's true for Anglos. If you're a foreign-born guy who's married and has no high school degree, your workforce participation profile is essentially indistinguishable from a college-educated, native-born guy. This historically weird employment picture has potential policy implications aplenty. At a minimum, we should be talking about expediting the immigration backlog, rethinking Social Security's disability insurance, and reducing the carceral state. But we also need some recognition that the status quo just cannot last. The shrinking percentages of Americans who do work still work longer and harder than all their rich world counterparts, effectively financing the idleness of their contemporaries. Sooner rather than later, that mix will become politically untenable. The experiment of running an economy without immigrants has now been tried, and the native-born dropouts did not budge. Instead of scapegoating those among us working the hardest, we might consider changing the incentive structures for those who can no longer be moved to work. As always, people, the original over at Reason.com is filled with hyperlinks going to all kinds of stuff, and it has some pretty charts as well. Okay, thanks. Goodbye.